A story is told, a parable is told in Luke 13 about a man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came at the end of the first year when the fig tree was supposed to have brought forth fruit to check and see how much fruit the fig tree had produced. There was none. After the second year, he returned to investigate the fruit bearing of the tree. There was no fruit on the tree after the second year. For the third time, after the third year, he returned to check and see concerning the fruit on the fruit tree. There was none. The man who owned the vineyard said, "I'll cut the fruit tree down. It's not bearing fruit. I'll cut it down." The vine dresser came and began to plead with the owner of the vineyard and said, "Give me another year, one more year. Give me this year also. Let me dig around the tree. Let me put fertilizer around the tree, or dung as it's called here. Let me do what I can to prune the tree and work on the tree. Give me this year also." The owner of the vineyard did grant this request, this year also. Now in this story, the vineyard represents God's people. The trees represent individual Christians. This tree that was bearing no fruit represents God's people who do not bear fruit. Those who never win a soul. Those who never build a bus route. Those who never build a Sunday school class. Those who never bring unsaved folks to the services. Those who never pass out a gospel tract. He said, "Preacher, you're going down that trail again?" Yes, and again, and again, and again, and again. One of our folks came back home. They met me in the hallway, and they said, "Brother Hiles," said, "I'm back, living back home," said, "but you're just as mean as you were when I was here before." Yeah, I said, "I'll be that mean next time you come back, too. I'm going to hate wrong just like I've always hated wrong. The next time I come back, I'll be calling misbehaving idiots down in the services, too, when folks don't know how to behave in the services." And you say, "I don't like it." Well, then you can just come back every time you can. Not like it then. Yes, I plan to keep preaching against sin as long as I have a breath. I plan to hate sin and hate wrong and hate misbehaving and hate rebellion as long as I have breath to preach. I plan to preach against it. Amen. And I love you so much that I plan to remind you every time that I can that you're going to face God one of these days, fruitless, and will be punished, and will lose your rewards in heaven. Not heaven, but your rewards in heaven, unless you get busy for God while you're down here. So, here's the story. Our Heavenly Father comes and sees a life like yours and like mine. We are His fruit trees. He comes to examine our lives and see what fruit we bring forth. He finds at the end of a year we are not bringing forth fruit. He's long-suffering, and He is a God of patience and tender mercies, and so God waits another year. He comes back the second time to find if we're bringing forth fruit, and He finds that our lives are fruitless, no souls, no sinners being saved, no fruit bearing. And so He leaves the second time. So the third time He comes, after the third year, He checks to see if we have any fruit, and we have no fruit, no souls. Nothing but leaves, as it were. He decides to take us on to heaven. He decides to put us in a car wreck or cause us to have a heart attack. He decides to take us on to heaven, or to kill us, if you call it that. Kill us and take us on to heaven. Why? Because we're not bearing fruit. Now you listen to me. God will not allow a non-fruit-bearing Christian to live on the earth year after year not bringing forth fruit for Jesus Christ. Well, you say, "I know what now. I haven't won a soul in the last 20 years. Well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't won a soul in 20 years and you're still alive, I'd hit the mourner's bench like a lost sinner tonight and get saved." So,
though the Lord says, I'll take his life,
he's not bearing any fruit. Ah, but the vine dresser, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us, comes and says, Father, let me prune the tree. Let me dig around the tree. Let me make him sick, or let me chasten him. Let me cause this baby to be sick, or let me cause a child to have serious illness, or let me cause him to lose his job, or let me make him hungry for a while. Let me see if I can prune him a while and fertilize him and cut off some limbs and prune this and prune that, and give me this year also. Now, this owner of this vineyard waited 3 years and got no fruit. God's waited a lot longer than that for some of you. I wonder if this year also you'll be like you've always been. Is it this year also for your fruitlessness? Is it this year also when you'll not win a single person to Jesus Christ all year long? Is it this year also that you'll not even pass out one gospel tract on a street corner? Is it this year also that you will not participate in one single visitation program of the 29 visitation programs we have in our church? Is it this year also that you'll find it not, you're not willing to participate in any one of those visitation programs? Is it this year also that you'll not witness to your loved ones? Is it this year also that you'll have nothing but leaves to offer the Master? Is it this year also that you'll continue loafing, complacent? Is it this year also that many of you will continue robbing God of the tithes and offerings? I said this morning, and I'll say it again, if you do not put 10% of your income in the collection plate, you are a common criminal. You are a disobedient thief. You're as crooked as a person that'll rob a bank. You're as crooked as a person that'll break in somebody's house and take all he has. You're as crooked as a person that'll steal somebody's billfold. You're as crooked as a pickpocket. If you do not, well, you say, well, I'm not saved and I don't have to do it. But it so happens unsaved people live on the same green earth that God made that saved people live on. And if you're saved or unsaved, all you have is God's. And God says 10% of it is supposed to be given to him. And if you don't give it to him, you're a dirty, crooked thief and a robber. And I wouldn't let you borrow a dime and I wouldn't trust you. Why? Because you're crooked, that's why. I wouldn't go on your note and I wouldn't recommend you to somebody for a payment for debt. And I wouldn't give you a good recommendation as being honest. I mean, you're dishonest. I mean, you're crooked. You said, I don't like what you're saying. I didn't say it. God said it. He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Is it this year also you're going to be a God robber? Is it this year also you're not going to read your Bible through? Is it this year also that you'll not participate in any of the soul-winning programs? Is it this year also that you'll continue wearing your long hippie hair like the heathen communist pagan world? Is it this year also? And by the way, I've been very grieved about this. Many of our folks, I'm not preaching to anybody in particular, but listen, if you ever belong to this church in your home, you're still mine. And you're still answerable to God for what we taught you while you were here. And if you come and you grow up in this church and leave this church and leave the principles and truths and convictions that we taught you here, you're wasting our time. And brother, don't you waste my time. I don't have enough of it to waste. You sat in our Sunday school classes and you sat in the services here in our church, and you heard my preaching, and you came to my office for counsel, and I tried to help you and advise you, and we tried to love you and teach you something. And God say, believe it when you're gone, and live it when you're gone like you did when you were home. Is it this year also? By the way, I was noticing a fellow went to our high school. He got demerits. And as usually the case, the teachers have it in for you. It's an amazing thing to me that There's all the teachers seem to have it in for the same fella. And it's amazing to me, too, that no matter which school he's in, the grade school or the junior high or the high school or the college, that the teachers there get it in for him, too. And this fellow kept saying, teachers have it in for me. So he finally got expelled from school, and he looked like a long-haired hippie right away. I made me sort of wonder whose fault it really was. Is it this year also you're not willing to get a haircut and look for a child of God or look? Is it this year also that some of you little mini-skirted Jezebels are going to flip your thighs around to the lustful eyes and wicked minds of evil men again this year? Is it this year also that you're going to keep on listening to your dirty, satanic, coming from the pit of hell, communistic rock music? Is that this year also? Visitors, don't get worried. Everything's going to be okay. Is it this year also that you're going to listen to Satan's music? Is it this year also that you're going to keep watching your dirty television shows, your soap operas in the afternoon, your filthy sex-crazed TV shows in the evening? Is it this year also you're going to barely get by in school, not learning, just hoping to get a passing grade and someday get a diploma? Is it this year also you're going to make plans and promises but do nothing for God? Is God going to come this year also and check your fruit and find that you're a barren tree? Is it this year also that you're going to push a foot and compromise? Is it this year also that you're going to conform to the heathen pagan world? Is it this year also that you're going to borrow the jargon and slang of the world? Is it this year also that you're going to listen to the dirty jokes and tell the filthy stories? Is it this year also that you're going to continue your journey down the street of selfishness, living only for yourself? Down the lane of loafing, not working for God? Down the avenue of almost but never arriving at your destination? Down the parkway of procrastination, putting off to tomorrow what you know you ought to do now? Down the tollway of tomorrow, manana, I'll do it, but not now. Down the highway of halting between two opinions. Down the lane of laziness, the pass of plans and promises. The expressways of exemption from serving God and the freeway of the forward fool. The path of pride, the road of rebellion, the way of the wayfaring, and the boulevard of backsliding. Or are you going to keep on going down those roads that are not fruitful and someday face your God with nothing but leaves? Or are you going to continue being a sinner in the services? Turn from your lingering to laboring. Turn from your complacency to compassion. Turn from tomorrow to today. From selfishness to selflessness. From deliberation to a dare. From doubt to decision. From callousness to concern. From carelessness to carefulness. And say, I am going to serve God in 1975. Or are you going to keep on going? Why don't you say, this year I'll go to work. This year I'll tithe. This year I'll live in the Word of God. This year I'll not live for myself. This year I'll bathe my life in service for God. This year I'll live for others. This year I'll harbor no ill will. This year I'll not gossip. This year I'll not criticize. This year I'll not complain. This year I'll not be worldly. This year I'll not conform to the pagan world. Why don't you say, this year I'm going to make this the year when I bear fruit for God? As I have said to the last two Sunday nights, there's a great army of people in a church like this who sit at the table and eat the fruit of the land but never pay the bills. You see as many folks saved as we see saved, but you give a dollar while we give a tithe. You see as many people saved as we see saved, and yet you never soil your hand to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Is it this year also? Are you going to continue not caring this year? Are you not going to cry for sinners this year? Are you not going to pass out tracts this year? Are you not going to win souls this year? Are you not going to build a bus route this year? Are you not going to live clean this year? Are you not going to read God's Word this year? Are you not going to spend hours in prayer this year? Or you plan to do it. You meant to do it. Someday you're going to do it. You going to do's and used to wasers and has beeners and plan to be's. We need somebody to do it now. Now. You've heard this story, and I've told it here before, I'm sure. Somebody had a vision one night. Some man had a vision one night while he was dreaming, or sleeping, he was dreaming or had a vision. He dreamed that all the little demons of hell got together for a convention. Satan stood up, Lucifer himself, and said, "Jesus Christ has died for the sins of man, and now every man who will believe in Jesus can be saved. I need some help to plan, figure a plan whereby men will not be saved and men will die and go to hell with us." One little demon raised his hand and said, "I have an idea. I'll tell man there's no heaven. I'll tell him that the Bible speaks about golden streets and gates of pearl. That isn't true. I'll tell him that the Bible speaks about a land that is fairer than day. That isn't true. I'll tell him that when Jesus said, 'In my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.' I'll tell you it isn't true. I'll tell man there is no heaven." Another little demon said, "Let me, Mr. Lucifer, Master, let me tell you what I'll tell him. I'll tell him there is no hell. I'll tell him when the Bible says that those that were cast in the lake of fire shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'll tell him that isn't true. I'll tell him that it says, 'Well, the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.' I'll tell him that isn't true. When it says, 'Then it should have said, those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.' I'll tell him that isn't true. I'll tell him there is no hell." Nobody was quite pleased yet. The suggestion that there is no heaven did not quite please the demons of hell. And the suggestion there is no hell did not quite please the legions of Lucifer. Finally, one little demon said, "Master, I have a suggestion. My beloved contemporary has said, he'll go and tell man there is no heaven. And the other said, he'll tell man there is no hell. Let me go. Let me tell man there is no hurry." And that was the plan, it is said, that the demons decided to adopt. But there is a hurry. We're in a race against time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to make a statement I doubt if I've ever made, but I'm going to make it, and you just have to let it fall where it will. I do not believe in 1975 or 4 or 5 that a mother and father can realize the condition of our country, love their children, and not be soul winners. We're in a race against time. Whether you like it, whether you believe it, whether you accept it, whether you get mad at me or not, it's true. Our state universities are bent toward destroying the faith of our young people. A man sat in my office this week, told me how a loved one of his went to a state university, and told me how that loved one of his enrolled in school believing this book, believing in God and the Son of God and the virgin birth and the old-time religion. And they said to him in that state university, "You may believe it now, but you won't believe it when you leave here. We'll wreck your faith in it." And you and I are paying that buzzard salary. That dirty lying cheat, that crook, that deceiver from hell itself, we're paying his salary. And that man said to me, the sad truth is that he did lose his faith. They did take his faith. I could stand here and tell you story after story. As long as you would sit here, we wouldn't dismiss this service until Tuesday night at midnight. And I could tell you story after story of young people who have taken their mothers and dads' hard-earned sacrificial money and gone to state universities had every vestige of their faith in God and His Word shaken. I'd rather my kids never learn to read and write than go to these government schools that are shaking the faith of our kids. So I can't see eye to eye with you. Either you don't know what's going on or you're not right with God. Is it going to be this year also? This year also? We're in a race. Our country's about to be destroyed. So I don't believe it. They didn't believe it in Russia either in 1917-18. You say, well, Brother Hiles, we only have a few real communists in this country. When Russia had its revolution, less than 2%, I understand, of the Russian people were communists. The forces of communism, humanism, atheism, godlessness are rampant. And the only hope we have, the only hope we have, is to win everybody we can to Jesus Christ. I said this morning, and I'll fight this thing as long as I've got a breath if I do it behind jail bars. This thing of passing ordinances in these cities that Christians can't go soul winning is of the devil. It's of the devil. And as long as I've got a breath, I'll fight it. Why is it that all of a sudden, after 200 years, some nuts have got to come up with the fact that it's not right to go soul winning? And they say, you've got to get a permit from the city hall. I already have my permit to go soul winning. Say, won't you get it? No, sir. As long as I live and breathe, I'll never go to a mayor or city council and say, can I go soul winning? I may go soul winning, who tell him I went? And they go by the city hall and say, I've been soul winning. But I'm not going to go by the city hall and say, can't. You say, give me scripture. Well, since you brought it up, I will. They brought Peter and John before the council, and they said, you cannot go soul winning. They said, you cannot go from house to house speaking anymore in Jesus' name. And Peter and John said, you go ahead and make your little decision, but we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. And the First Baptist Church in Hammond plans to keep on speaking what you've seen and heard. This used to be a free country. I go to O'Hare Field. Occasionally I come back. Occasionally I drop by. And Cindy was about that high. I came home one Wednesday night. I was unpacking and repacking, and she said, where you been? And I said, I've been to Montana. She said, where are you going? I said, going to Akron, Ohio. She must have been 3 years old. She said, it was mighty nice of you to drop by for a few minutes. Reminds me when Joe Boyd was a member of my church in Texas. By the way, Miss Smith, I need to see you and Glenn just a second. I saw you over there sometime after the service. Drop by the office. The Smiths. Just happened to see you. You were holding hands in the service this morning. Joe Boyd was an evangelist, and his little boy Bubba was about 2 years old, two or three, just barely could talk. He was sitting at breakfast one morning, and his Bubba looked over at Joe and kept staring at him. And Joe became a little bit uncomfortable, his boy just looking at him. And finally, his boy snapped his finger and said, "I know who you are. You're Joe Boyd." You know, I go to Hare Field, and they have all kinds of screwballs out there passing out literature. You fellas have seen them. I mean, you ought to see some of their hairstyles. So those rascals, they've taken a shaver and just shave right down the middle. And then some of them have covered up the middle and shaved on either side of the middle. I joined them. I'm shaving right down the middle. And I think their stuff is garbage. But brother, I'd fight in the trenches of foreign fields to defend their right to stand out there and do it. Unless their doctrine says that if they take over, that you can't stand out there and do it. You say, well, you say, you fight for freedom to pass out your literature. How come you're against the communists passing out their literature? Because their literature has in it us losing our right to pass out our literature. You say, preacher, what can I do? You can get busy for God. This year also. I was thinking tonight and this afternoon and through the week. Did you know that, especially you young folks, did you know you owe us a debt? You owe us a debt to be decent. I mean, we didn't sacrifice and give all the money we had to start Hammond Baptist High School and Hammond Baptist Grade School just because we wanted to have a grade school or a high school. You owe us a debt. You're in debt to us. And let me say, as I said a while ago, don't you waste our time. You're going to go to the devil, go on. Don't come waste our time when some young people would like to have help and like to be helped and like to have counsel and advice. We can help. There's a young lady here tonight. She's always here. Lovely young lady. Her life is not always known. The white, there's been some black. Her life is not always known. The pure, there's been some impurity. Her life has not always known the chastity. There's been some times of being unchaste. The Lord has performed a great miracle in her life, and she's one of my favorite young ladies. She came by the office after the service. Nobody knows she did. Just to tell me that she loved me and just to see me. And she said, I'm sorry I didn't get you a Christmas present. If 10 more folks had gotten me Christmas presents, I wouldn't have a belt I could wear or a pair of pants I could wear. She said, I'm sorry I didn't get you a Christmas present. And I said to her, I said, every Sunday when I look at you in the service and realize what a sweet Christian you become, you give me a Christmas present. That's what we want. That's what we want. And by the way, we have a right to it. There are 4 days mentioned here in this story. 4 days. Here's the owner of the vineyard coming and saying, no fruit. He comes back again, no fruit. He comes back again, no fruit. He says, I'll cut it down. The vine dresser says, let me have a while to prune it and dig around it and fertilize it. There are 4 days mentioned here. I want to call to your attention 4 days. 4 years. One is the year of chastening. One is the year of chastening. There were the years when the vine dresser tried to get the vine to bring forth fruit. The year of chastening. Let me ask you a question. Is this going to be your year of chastening? Is this the year when God's going to look at you and find no fruit and God's going to dig around you for a while and fertilize you and prune you a while? Is this the year of the squeaking of brakes on the highway and the clashing of steel and the spilling of blood and you'll lay in a line of hospital somewhere? Is this the year when some little baby will be taken from your home and you'll be having an empty lap? Is this the year when God's going to chasten you? Listen, God's going to do it if you don't bring forth fruit. 1975 is going to be that year for many of you. Now, I'm not saying every baby that dies, God took him. God takes some babies to heaven because he needs babies in heaven. God takes some babies to heaven because God loves little babies. And God takes some babies to heaven because he looks down and sees tragedy in the future. And God, in his mercy, wants to prevent the tragedy. But there are many babies in heaven because God is chastening. The year of chastening. Is that going to be the year for you? Huh? Is this the year of chastening? This year also no fruit? And God chastens? Or is this the year of grace? That one year when the owner of the vineyard said, I'll cut it down. And the vine dresser representing Jesus said, no, don't cut it down. Don't cut it down. Give me one more year. There are people in this room tonight for whom 1975 will be your last year of grace. Yeah, it will. God reaches up for his acts of chastening and judgment and destruction and death and starts to lower it down on you and says, I'll cut it off from the walking with men. But Jesus says, Father, give me one more year. Let me have one more year to prune him and chasten him. As sure as, by the way, there's some people here tonight that are ending your last one. If you don't start bearing fruit between now and next Tuesday night at midnight, you mark it down. There are some people, you've got two more days to start bearing fruit before God cuts you down 1975. You wait and see. You're not messing around with an old bearded grandfather up in heaven somewhere that can be deceived, some naive nut up in heaven. No, sir! You're messing around with the very God of gods who holds the life breath that you breathe and the string of life. To some of you tonight, 1975 will be that year of chastening and heartbreak and tears. 1975, you'll lose your job. In 1975, you'll lose your health. In 1975, you'll lose a loved one. In 1975, chastening and tragedy and heartache and sorrow. Why? Because you weren't bearing fruit, that's why. And to others, it'll be the last year of grace. To others, it'll be the last chance that you'll have to be a soul winner before 1976 comes and the vine dresser says, I'm sorry I failed. And the Father cuts you off from the land of the living. There's a third year mentioned here, not only the year of chastening, the year of grace, but the year of death. To some of you, 1975, God will mark the year that God gives up on you. Let me ask you a question. Just face it tonight. Have you won a soul to Christ in 1974? You say, well, I teach in a Christian school. I didn't ask you that. I asked if you won a soul to Christ in 1974. Well, I teach a Sunday school class. I didn't ask you that. I said, have you won a soul to Christ in 1974? Well, I sing in the choir. That's not the issue. Have you won a soul to Christ in 1974? I'm not scolding you, dear friend. I'm trying to keep your wife from being a widow. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to keep your kids from being orphaned. Any fruit on you this year? You know what I'd do if I were you? If I hadn't won a soul to Christ in 1974, you know what I'd do? Brother, I'd go down to the alleys tonight. I'd go down to Skid Row tonight. I'd be looking for somebody. I'd say, Lord, don't bring 1975 here until I can get a piece of fruit on me. The year of death. And to some, thank God, the fourth year here is the year of fruit bearing. Why don't you make 1975 the year when you win souls? Why don't you make 1975 the year when you build a great bus route? This morning I saw Lorraine Caesar coming down the aisle with a soul. And I thought about this. I said, well, bless her heart. She's still at it. Still at it. She's been saved now, I don't know how many years, but I guess 8, 10, 12 years. And without doing any great deal of bragging or anything, her husband runs the Chrysler Plymouth agency over in Whiting. I'll get in trouble for doing this now and advertising it. But he's on the school board at Whiting. And they're not the poorest folks in the area, though they're not, I'm sure they're not multimillionaires or anything. But they're very generous people. In spite of it, she's out soul winning. Goes out to the ghetto areas and tells boys and girls and teenagers about Jesus. Brought some down the aisle this morning, and I thought about that. She's still at it. Still some fruit. Still some fruit. You know, when the Israelites came to the land of Canaan, the Lord told them to cut down all the trees. All the trees. But he said, don't touch the fruit trees. Don't touch the fruit trees. Cut down the cedar if you want to, but don't touch the fruit trees. Cut down the oak if you want to, but don't touch the fruit trees. Cut down the elm if you want to, but don't touch the fruit trees. Dear Lord looks down, and that's one reason why God puts up with guys like some of us on the platform. I mean, you know, he looks down, and we do get sort of nutty every once in a while. I don't. The rest of the fellows do. Get sort of nutty every once in a while. And the Lord looks down. You know why the Lord puts up with old Sergeant Vineyard running our bus ministry? Listen, I had the meanest top sergeant in the paratroopers. But he was a loving grandmother compared to the way Jim Vineyard runs the bus ministry. Amen? You know why God puts up with all that tomfoolery? I mean, all that stuff? Because the guy is a fruit tree. He's a fruit tree. He's bearing fruit. You say, I'll tell you the so-and-so that I know in this church, they just grind on my nerves. I know, but if they're fruit trees, the dear Lord says, leave them alone. Leave them alone. What year is it going to be for you? Huh? What's 1975 going to be for you? The year of chastening? The year when the dear Lord looks down and says, there's no fruit in 74, I'm going to chasten him? Or is it going to be for you the year of grace, that last year when God chastens? And is it your trial year, your test year, your last chance to do something for God? Or is it the year of death, 1975? With your name being engraved on a piece of marble? Because you bore no fruit? Or are you going to say tonight, 1975 for me is not going to be like 1974? It'll not be this year also. But in 1975, I'm going to serve my God. I'm going to get busy and be busy for my Savior. I'm going to build a Sunday school class. Or I'm going to have a great bus route. Or I'm going to go to the Foster Club and become a soul winner there. Or I'm going to go to the Friday morning soul winning at the church for the ladies of the church. Or I'm going to go on Friday evening when some of the men assemble. Or I'm going to work with the deaf or the retarded or the blind or the Spanish. Or I'm going to ask for the fist to let me be on a visitation team or a new birth team. I'm going to talk about the fist about what I can do this year. What soul winning plan in which I can participate. I am going to bear fruit in 1975. It's your choice. It's your choice. May I say again? I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I don't want you, little boy or girl, or boy and girl, or boys and girls, to have an empty place at the table where Mama and Daddy used to sit. I don't want your wife to be a widow, have to go out and make the living. I don't want your children being orphans. But you mark it down. There's a God in heaven, and as sure as there is a God in heaven, if this book teaches one thing, it teaches that Christians are supposed to go to work for God. Are you going to read this book in 1975? Are you going to make this year also neglecting the Word of God? Are you going to take your billfold in 1975 and say to your Lord, one dime out of every dollar that I make before Uncle Sam gets his, one dime of every gross dollar I make is going to be yours. Or are you going to rob God this year also? You're going to go down to the barbershop and get a haircut and get those sissy locks off of you so we can tell what you are, male or female? Or is it going to be, you're going to be a sissy-looking, effeminate-looking, kind of a communist-looking hippie this year also? You're going to cover up your thighs like the Bible says? Or are you going to keep looking like a prostitute this year also? You going to be different from this heathen world, or are you going to try to mock, copy the world this year also? The Spirit of God walks through this room tonight. He walks in this section up here, all through up here. He's checking you. It's the end of the year. That's when they check the fruit trees. Here. It's the end of the year. He's checking you. He walks across the back there, stops at every seed. He's checking every fruit tree. He's walking through his orchard. He's checking the trees. He's going to make a record in his book of your condition. He's going to take his records out and he's going to write down your condition. Oh, by the way, he's going to check this section up here, too. All of you folks up here. And the choir. And all you folks down here. You're his orchard. He's walking through the orchard tonight. It's the end of the year. It's the end of the year. When you check the fruit trees, he's going to stop by you. He's going to write down one of four things. This year, coming year, either he'll write chastening, and maybe he'll put a little sign on you as the tree as he goes through the orchard. So when the angels come through to see what instructions he has given, they'll see to it that 75 is a bad year for you because you're not bringing forth fruit. They're going to dig around you a little bit this year. They're going to prune you a little bit this year. Or maybe he won't. Some of you will write that. To others, he'll write year of grace. One more year. 1975, one more year. Is this, and the angels will come to your place and say, we'll let him live one more year. He's on trial in 1975. Or he's going to stop, and as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, he's going to stop to some, and he's going to write, kill. The death angel is going to come through, and we're going to have your funeral service. Why? No fruit. Thank God on many of us, he's going to write, leave alone. This is a fruit bearing. And to those, they'll go to heaven whenever God gets ready for them to go. And it won't be an accidental death. God will just call them home. What's it going to be for you? What year is it for you? Chastening? Last year of grace? Fruit. Nothing but leaves for the master. Fruit. That's what God expects from you and has a right to expect. He gave his life for you. He has the right to expect you to be obedient to him. It's your choice. It's your year. What God does with you during that year depends on what you're going to do and what kind of tree you're going to be. Would you pray, please? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take the message so much like all the others I preach here and stir up a few more. Stir up a few more. Give us a few more fruit trees. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What is the Lord going to write on you, dear fruit tree? What year will it be for you? The year of chastening? Or will it be the year of the last chance? Or will it be the year of cutting down the tree? Or will it be another year or a year of fruitfulness? If tonight you have not been busy for God, don't let it be this year also. If you have not been serving God, don't let it be this year also. If you've been robbing God and not tithing, don't let it be this year also. If you've been living in the world, don't let it be this year also. I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Hiles, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and I can see a few changes I better make. There's some things I've been doing in 1974, or things I've not been doing, and that I'm going to not say this year also. There's some changes I'm going to make in 75. The Holy Spirit has pointed them out to me tonight. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. All over the building. God bless you. You can put them down. Who else would say, Brother Hiles, the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart tonight. There's some things in 1975 that must be different from 74. It'll not be this year also. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I've not been bearing fruit in 74, but it won't be this year also. I'm going to bear fruit. Lift your hand, would you please? You can put them down. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I've not been reading my Bible in 74. It's not going to be this year also. I'm going to spend time in the Word in 75. Lift your hand, would you please? All over the building. Thank you. How many would say, Brother Hiles, I've been robbing God in 74. It's not going to be this year also. I'm going to be an honest Christian in 75 and give God the tithe that's His. Would you lift your hand, please? You can lower them. I wonder how many say, Brother Hiles, I've been living worldly, have had worldliness in my life in 74. It's not going to be this year also. I want God to forgive me, and I'm going to ask God to deliver me from my worldliness in 75. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. You can lower them. Heavenly Father, I pray for these dear people. You know I've not tried to be unkind tonight. I've tried to help. You know, dear God, that if the people in this room will listen to and heed what I preach tonight, it'll make every one of them happier. So I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of thy people in this hour. Now with heads bowed, if you need to come and take a trek to the altar, just kneel here at the altar. Somewhere on either side, there's room. You do it.